we want to make this app for the entire family, but we don't want to put the HBO name on it, because when you think HBO, you think Game of Thrones and people having sex with dragons and the like.
And now what they're learning is there's nothing wrong with having sex with dragons.
If you know, you know. We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5n1.net.
One before the big one, my friends. Yes, the next time we get together, we are going to be watching some championship caliber football. We'll talk about how...
When the beep, play the beep in the Super Bowl.
That's right. We'll talk about who the will play, it whether it's the or the in a moment. But right now, let's get the brass tacks out of the way here on the BS Big Show. I'm Chico Alexander. My bald brother from a Brooklyn mother, Jason Block, is right here. And on location, somewhere in Central Florida, avoiding the Tron light cycle like the plague, our own little mouseketeer, Ian McClendon.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, you're as welcome as can be. Greetings from the Magic Kingdom. Good evening, my friends, and I'm coming to you directly from Disney's Contemporary Resort, one of the OG Disney resorts.
I've seen that.
Okay. I actually stayed there 7 years ago.
Yes, indeed, and I've been enjoying my time here, making the most of my annual pass, managing my resort time and park time as best as I could. That's what I've done since I've become an annual pass holder these days. And
shout out to all the annual pass holders.
But I'm not afraid to talk a little football while in Central Florida.
Well, before we talk a little bit about the football, we've got breaking news.
In an absolute disbelief stunner, okay, Bill Belichick will not be inducted into the Hall of Fame this year.
Yes. If you recall, there are 50 voters in the Hall of Fame board, I'm going to say it is, a board. You need 40 of them to be inducted. According to sources, Bill Belichick, in voting earlier this month, fell short of the 40 out of 50 votes needed for induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame during his first year of eligibility. This comes from four sources with firsthand knowledge of the outcome, reporting to ESPN. Belichick received a call from a Hall representative last Friday afternoon with the news that he will be inducted to Canton this summer. Several sources who spoke with the coach over the weekend described Belichick as puzzled and disappointed by his inability to secure support from at least 80% of those committee members. He asked an associate, reportedly, six Super Bowls isn't enough? What does a guy have to do?
Well, I have reaction to this, and then I will give you my reaction. Patrick Mahomes, insane, doesn't even understand how this could be possible. J.J. Watt, I can't be reading this right. This has to be some knockoff Hall of Fame or something. It can't be the actual NFL Hall of Fame. There's not a single world whatsoever in which Bill Belichick should not be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Text from Adam Schefter. Text from an NFL executive. The 10-plus people that didn't vote for Bill Belichick should be exposed. What the fuck? This is crazy. Where are we here? Ryan Clark. Bill Belichick not being a first ballot Hall of Famer means that no coach should ever be. It means the voters have decided there isn't a coaching resume that warrants first ballot consideration. He's the greatest, most accomplished coach of all time. This is egregious. Pat McAfee. Bill Belichick is officially not a first ballot Pro Football Hall of Famer. Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick could be in GOAT conversations for coach and GM, and he isn't a first ballot Hall of Famer in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Okay. I think Cody Rhodes has something to say about this. I hope you have him.
This right here is bullshit.
Indeed. Let me tell you something. These fuckers are the... You know who they remind me of? The one vote they didn't give against... Who was it? Was it Ken Griffey?
Was either him or Ichiro.
Or Ichiro. Okay, yeah. The one vote against Ichiro. These fuckers are jealous of this guy. If I were on the Live Honor show, do you know what I want? I would love to see happen. I would love everyone to go, we want Bill. We want Bill. We want Bill. Something hijack the fucking show. I'm tired of this. Just because of Spygate... Just because he's good friends with the guy in the White House? Fuck you all. Bill Belichick is the greatest modern coach in the history of football. Even better than Vince Lombardi, Don Shula, Chuck Noll.
Jason, you are completely talking through emotions right now. I'm going to let you feel yourself, but it's time. But you said it yourself. You said it yourself. You may not have meant to say it yourself, but you said it yourself. Because, again, Bill Belichick may be the GOAT in the modern day. And if you say you're better than Vince Lombardi, you're absolutely insane. But, you said it yourself. Spygate and Deflategate.
And not to mention... the issues that he had when coaching the Browns. Bernie Kosar's diminished skills.
Are you really going to go there, Ian?
you know what? I want Ian. You know what? It's like the same reason why I want you to go there, Jason. I want Ian to go there.
He can go there. I'm being sarcastic. I'm not saying that he shouldn't go there.
he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but... First ballot Hall of Famer, he probably should have been, in spite of all the controversy that he has been through over his coaching career.
He's got 8 rings, 333 wins. Come on.
Obviously, people are taking a look at this and saying, break me the head of the 11 or so people who voted against.
We get it. I say we get them. Okay. And by the way, that being said, then no person. By that phony thing, when Tom Brady officially goes into the Hall of Fame, he's not going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
See, that would be very interesting. Now, Tom Brady has 5 or so years left until. He is,
something like that, maybe 4?
Yeah. Gonna be interesting to see, you know what, Bill Belichick will get to the Hall of Fame eventually. We know this is going to happen. The fact that it's not happening right now is rubbing people sore, but we all know how this story ends.
We do.
He's going to get into the Hall of Fame.
But honestly, it will not mean as much. I don't think it will mean as much.
Well, obviously.
In the same, put it to you this way. Tom Brady is eligible for the Hall of Fame 2 years from now. He retired in 2023. Mark my words, he will not get into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. And if he does, then the Hall of Fame committee are a bunch of hypocrite fucks. Because if Bill Belichick was involved in Deflategate, Tom Brady was just as or more responsible for Deflategate as well. Correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So, if you're going to hold everybody responsible, then Tom Brady should not be in the Hall of Fame in 2028. Do you agree with me or not?
I agree with you.
Okay. It's a hard call.
No, I'm going by the rules that were set today.
Yes.
I'm going by the rules that were set today.
Okay.
If Bill Belichick does, if Tom Brady gets in as the Hall of Famer, okay, on the first ballot, and the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Fame means nothing anymore. The same way that Shador fucking Sanders is a Pro Bowler. How?
I will tell you how. Right after we talk about this game, because...
Oh, segue, huh? Love that.
That's a segue. Because our first...
Because
we kick things off, literally, with the New England Patriots traveling to Denver to pitch bout for the right to play in the Bay. It is the AFC Championship Drake May MVP contender against... Not Bo Nix. I almost said Bo Nix. It is not Bo time. It is Stitty City. And just when
yes.
you thought you had this game figured out, because this is really a tale of two games, tale of two halves, we start out any other game. Then, somehow in the second half, snow.
Yes. But here's the interesting thing. Okay. So the first quarter has basically Denver leading 7-0. Now, in the second quarter, we have the first drive, which took 6:32 off the clock. We had they were driving. And then they had a 4th-and-1 at the New England 14 with 9:28 to go.
This is, okay, I don't know how many of y'all follow JG9, but,
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
Yes. So, instead of kicking the field goal and going up 10-0, still, the defense blitzed, and then you had an incomplete pass, a turnover on downs. No score in the second, no score until late in the, what happened, well, then you had in 258, at 258 in the, 259 left in the second, Stitham is sacked at the Denver 14, and there's a fumble recovery by Ponder. And then two plays later, touchdown run by
Drake May.
He runs in. It is 7-7 at half.
Yes. And then we go to...
I'm sorry. You had a missed field goal the Broncos and a missed field goal by Denver.
And that's the half. That's New England half. It is tied at 7 at the half. And then Patriots get the ball to start the second half. And it goes all the way down to a sack which would put the ball on the Denver 5.
Well, no, just hold on a second. The Patriots had a beautiful drive and went up 10-7.
Yeah,
and then it went back. Punt! Missed field. No, but then the second half decided to say, oh, the weather outside is frightful.
It snowed last night.
Yes, indeed. It was from beautiful sunny skies to... And they had a beautiful comparison shot. I don't know if you saw this.
I saw the time lapse. It was absolutely amazing. But yeah.
No. The one where they showed the picture of Gillette Stadium under 3 feet of snow as opposed to at one.
Empower Field at Mile Field. High. Empower Field at Mile High, which was dusting. It was a light dusting, but it was enough to get everybody slipping and a sliding, peeping and a hiding. Yes, it was.
Then it became an ugly ass football game. Let me rephrase that: an uglier ass football game. Punt, miss field goal. Punt, 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 miss field goal, and then late in the game,
54 seconds on the clock. Instead of deep right, he's going for it. He sees Marvin Mims. He also sees Gonzalez pick him off at the 36.
So, your AFC champions are, after a 4-win season, the New England Patriots.
Victory is mine!
Yep. Box score time.
And by the way, both teams sucked.
Both teams sucked out loud. Just that the Broncos picked the wrong time to suck a little bit more.
And by the way, just to let you know, even though Jarrett Stidham played better than Drake May, which he did. I did say Jarrett Stidham is better than Bo Nix. That being said, in the conditions there, I think Bo Nix might have won the game for him, potentially.
Maybe so. I do not doubt, if Bo Nix was playing, they would have stood a chance. As it is, Jarrett Stidham was the better quarterback. 17-31, 133, one touch, one pick, three sacks. R.J. Harvey, your leading rusher, with 37 yards and not much else. Marvin Mims, Jr., leading receiver, with 62 yards and not much else. But Courtland Sutton with your low touchdown rabbit run. Over on New England, Drake May, 10 of 21 for 86.
Awful. Denver's defense had him all over the place. It was
terrible.
Yeah.
And the offensive line sucked.
Ramondre Stevenson, your leading rusher, 25 carries, 71 yards, but Drake did manage to scamper into the end zone for a minor score. And
don't go there.
Good night, everybody. And your leading receiver, Franklin Street, Drake May to Matt Collins, 51 yards, 2 of 2.
Yeah, but so who will the Patriots go to Santa Clara and visit? Well, we go to the 12th man, Seattle. And man, oh man, we could do it because, one game had to be the BS
Championship Game of the Year.
All week.
This was, no kidding, one of the greatest games of the year.
Sam okay? Darnold. Sick and tired of being left for dead by other teams, decides he's going to take the fight to the Rams and just answer back everything they have planned for him. If you recall, he was cast aside by the Jets. He was cast aside by the Vikings. He found his way to the Seahawks.
You're forgetting Carolina for a second?
Oh, yeah, he was in Carolina. I must have forgotten. Anyway,
Yeah, he found his groove with the Vikings, and it continued with the Seahawks.
And now he's
And this game was so good.
Incredible.
Both quarterbacks, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and over 300 yards each. Their passer ratings were pretty much identical.
Yes.
And there was one play that changed the game, but let's just give the stats first, and I'll tell you the play in a minute. Sam Darnold, 25 for 36, three touchdowns, 0 picks, 3 sacks. Kenneth Walker III ran in, but good grief, laser.
Laser time, boys!
JSN, 10 of 12, 153 in a touch. Cooper Kupp had a touch, and Jake Bobo.
Who this guy be?
He had a touchdown. Now, then over on the Rams side, Matthew Stafford was freaking fantastic. 22 of 35, 374, 3 touches, 1 sack. No rushing touchdowns, but good grief. Puka!
Laser time, boys!
He was better than JSN. 9 of 14, 165 and a touch. Devontae Adams had a touchdown. Tyron Williams had a touchdown. But here's the key to the game, and I have to find it, and I want to just see where it is. The muff punt.
It was the muff punt. They kicked the punt. Xavier Smith muffed it. And then on the next play, Sam Darnold connects to Jake Bobo from 17 yards out for the 24-13 lead. Of course, both teams would score later, but...
There it is. It was the muff punt in the third quarter. Recovered, and it was one play, 17 yards. That was the difference, because then it was a 17-13 game, turned it into a 24-13 game, and Seattle never looked back, really.
Nope.
That was the one. But otherwise, this was an even game. This was a classic game. This was the Super Bowl, if you really want to call it that. And you had the two best teams in the NFC facing facing off against, well, what we think that were the two best teams in the AFC. I don't think so, to be honest, but okay. So, with that, the Super Bowl is set. A week from Sunday, the New England Patriots will travel to
Santa Clara,
Levi Stadium, to play the Patriots will play in the Seahawks.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Had to get that in.
I know you did. Well, get all the PJs in, because for the last time this season, all together now.
It's time to be a hero.
Thank you. All right. Let's start with you, Ian.
My hero players, Sam Darnold, and I got to go with the Matthew Stafford as well. Basically, the offensive units for the Rams and the Seahawks, along with the Patriots defense, are my heroes.
My hero, actually, yes, I have to say that. But I got to say it. It's Darnold and the Seahawks offense. Good God, they were great. And by the way, I'll throw the Rams in too, because we're one of the great playoff games of all time.
Yeah, I will agree with you on that. And I will also add Sam Darnold to Jackson Smith and Jigba. That connection may just give the Seahawks the win in 10 days' time. But now we've got to flip it.
Hero.
Okay. Anybody playing in the snow?
No.
Except
wrong. There is 1-0, and you know who it is. At least you think you should.
I gotta say it was the muffed punt.
Bingo. That's your zero player.
No, wait, there's another zero. The coaching staff who called for the Broncos to go for it on fourth and short instead of taking the easy three.
That's it. That's another one too.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, did you start Ian or did I?
No, it was your turn.
Okay. I will also give the zero to the player who got caught for taunting the Rams, giving the Rams at least a chance instead of knocking the door. That's another zero. But yeah, it's Sean Payton. Why do you go for it? You should have taken the 10-0 lead. He's better than that. He's much better.
He is. Ian, wrap us up, please.
Yeah, Xavier Smith is a zero player, as is Will Lutz in the sense, and my zero unit is the Broncos coaching staff. Why do you even ponder passing? Normally, I would play the soundbite for that, but for reasons to be explained later, I had to say it myself.
I get you.
Okay.
Okay, now we'll get to those reasons in a bit, but first, I got to put my coaching jacket on.
Yeah, we do it for the last time this season. Let's go. Spin the wheel of coaches.
Yes, this morning it came out that the Bills were promoting Joe Brady to the head coach position. So there you go. And with the
Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers. I think he's going to end up somewhere. I just don't know where.
I don't know. Well, you got coaching opportunities. Ronte Jones goes to the Commanders as defensive coordinator.
Mike McDaniel's going to the Chargers as head coach. And
head coach. Defensive coordinator.
My mistake.
OC, not AC. Yep.
And the Titans are reportedly nearing a deal to bring on Brian Daboll as their next defensive coordinator.
You know what? I'm okay with that because at least he's not the head coach. Because they'll go from, what, 3 wins to 4, if that.
There you go. Aim high. Then you have the Steelers bringing in Mike McCarthy as their next coach, who replaces Mike Tomlin, who resigned at the end of the season. Only the fourth head coach in the franchise since 1969. You beat that?
McDaniel has a very big shoes to fill in Noel, Tomlin, and Cowher. I don't know if he's going to fit it just yet. I know.
And then the Ravens hired Chargers DC Jesse Minter to replace John Harbaugh as head coach.
By the way, at the end, I want to talk about some of the Super Bowl commercials that have been previewed.
Okay. So all of that, and our chief high muckety muck brought in Joe Lombardi, who is out at Denver, and maybe Pete Carmichael replaces him? We'll see.
Okay.
All right, now let's talk about what's going on this Sunday on ESPN. On the ESPN, actually, is that Sunday or Tuesday?
It's a week from today.
Okay, so it is the Pro Bowl games on a Tuesday instead of a Sunday. Your guess is as good as mine, but we do have the Pro Bowl games next Tuesday, 8 o'clock on ESPN and Disney Plus. So the rosters are set. Right now, the Ravens, the Broncos, the 49ers, and the Seahawks all lead their respective divisions with 6 players. From the Bills, we have Josh Allen, James Cook, and Deion Dawkins. From the Dolphins, Devon H.
Remember, this is the Pro Bowl games, not a team stuff.
Right. Okay, and we're just, you know what? Let's just get to our teams of record here. For Ian, two Browns made the cut. Miles Garrett.
Yeah, Miles Garrett.
Denzel Ward.
And Denzel Ward. Very deserving.
What do the Giants do?
The Giants, one guy. Linebacker Brian Burns.
Okay. Well, we have Abdul Carter, but okay. What about the Panthers? You might have gotten Ted Aroa, I'm thinking.
No, we did not. Which is just a crying shame. We got quarterback J.C. Horn. Of course, when you make J.C. Horn money, yeah, that's going to happen.
And also the Browns have Shedeur Sanders as an alternate.
Oh yeah, because they chose Drake May, but Drake May is obviously going to be otherwise busy, so Shedeur Sanders has been elevated to the active roster.
Somehow, some way.
Somehow, some way indeed.
And the Vikings, they have
zero.
No Vikings this year.
And same with the Saints, who also have nothing. But yeah, the six from the 49ers.
That's have nothing either.
Yep. But the six from the 49ers, Trent Williams, Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, John Weeks, and Luke Gifford. The six from the Seahawks, Sam Darnold, DeMarcus Lawrence, Rashid Shaheed, Jackson Smith, and Jigba, Leonard Williams, and Devon Witherspoon. They're not going. They're going to be busy.
Yes, and by the way, it is a tough name to remember, but the name, of course, is actually pronounced Kyle Juszczyk, and I got to mention that he was a Cloverleaf product from Medina County.
And the six from Denver are Zach Allen, Garrett Bowles, Nick Bonito, Quinn Miners, Pat Surtain II, and Cortland Sutton. Anything else I'm missing?
No, we need to go to college. No fanfare.
Okay. But we do have money changing hands, reportedly, because Duke has reached a settlement with Darian Mensah out of court to let him transfer to Miami?
Well... Is that quarterback the other one going to go?
I don't know. A hearing was set in Durham for Thursday, but the Sox filed a joint motion, according to WRAL, the Big Five, to dissolve the temporary restraining order Tuesday afternoon. In it, says the sides have reached a confidential agreement. Both sides saw this outcome being decided by a judge and weren't really comfortable with it, said Landis Barber, a lawyer with Safford Law Offices in Raleigh and an expert on sports law.
Well, and Mensah's deal was what, $4 million a year at NIL?
Yep. Oof. And it was expire at the end of this year. But it was wise for everybody to settle the case, but a lawyer, a Duke graduate, thought that Duke had the stronger case. This was David McKenzie, a Duke grad who specializes in IP law. Now, the filing shows that Duke is very serious about where they put their money.
Well, there's that. So.
And now.
Ian, I'm going to let you handle the Paul Allen stuff after I just talk about the Super Bowl stuff. If that's okay, because I want to keep the heavy stuff to the end.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good.
That sounds very good. In fact, let's talk about some of the commercials that have actually started leaking. One of which was the Budweiser spot started leaking,
which was great. It was America. it was actually great. So I actually have a list from the great site iSpot TV. If you look at the chat, I have some here. There's one that has come out where Andy Samberg is playing Neil Diamond instead of Neil Diamond, and sort of a parody of Sweet Caroline, okay? There have been teasers for Svedka, Fanatic Sportsbook, Lay's, I believe Rich Crackers has Bowen Yang, if you look at that. And of course, Bosch Home. I knew when Guy Fieri looked like that, it was a Super Bowl commercial, and there you go. Right?
The Guy Fieri celebrating his birthday with an AI that is absolutely not Guy Fieri.
But it's awesome. It's great.
Okay. I figured there was some method behind that, but there you go.
Yes. There was a teaser with Matthew McConaughey and Brandon Cooper for Uber Eats. The polar bear doing the Pepsi challenge.
It's
pretty good. The halfway there insurance with Keegan-Michael Key and what is that? Is that Nick Offerman?
I believe that is Nick Offerman.
We
have Brian Bumgarner for Ramp. Which actually makes sense because it's directed by Randall Einhorn, who also directed The Office. It debuted last year. This is our second ad. We have Nerds with Addison Rae and Shaboozy.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. That's the chick from I, Tonya for Squarespace.
Yeah.
That's not Margot Robbie, is it? Is that Emma Stone?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to have to take a look at that.
Let me check. That is... No, that is Emma Stone. Okay. Yep. It looked like Margot Robbie for a second. But yeah, so we got a lot of commercials and one that has not been, you know, and others that haven't been there. But again, we will see it. But now... I'll rip the Band-Aid off, Ian. This one's yours.
Yes, indeed. He had to get to it, and I came prepared for it. For those longtime listeners, I first contributed to the BS Big Show in 2013, and over the course of 13 years, every time I have done a show, I have name-dropped Paul Allen, the longtime Minnesota Vikings superfan who, in addition to doing play-by-play on KFAN and providing us many a glorious soundbite, positive or negative, he has also hosted KFAN's daily late-morning show, 9 to noon. As you may be aware of, there have been multiple incidents of, trigger warning. As you may be aware of, there have been multiple incidents of ICE agents targeting people in Minneapolis, namely Somalians and those of Somali descent, and this has drawn protests from many locals. The state of Minnesota is also notorious for its brutally cold temperatures every winter, typically the coldest region of the continental United States, along with the Dakotas. Discussion about the frigid conditions prompted PA to say, and I quote, "In conditions like this, do paid protesters get hazard pay?" End quote. Later, when talking about coaching hires, PA said, quote, "Everybody's catching strays this week. Flores, Kevin Stefanski from Baker, Charlie Biatch caught one out of nowhere. They're all just over. Paid protesters caught one this morning," end quote. There's no doubt that Paul Allen has taken a lot of flack for his antics over the years. His horrific nature during Vikings games has pretty much made him most comparable to Hawk Harrelson. There are a lot of people who couldn't stand him, especially his horrific stuff. But this time, PA really crossed the line, as his paid protesters' comments drew significant backlash. There have been calls for him to step aside and resign his posts, not just at KFAN for the Vikings and 9 to noon, but also as race announcer at Canterbury Park. Now we get to the part where the sad music plays.
I'll put it in post if you just want to go with it.
Well, no. I got it right here. Okay. And What's the term that you use, Chico?
The term we like to use on WLTI, and it is a term quoted by our good friend Gordon Pepper, the Mediapology.
The Mediapology. Thank you. Yes. Continuing on. Saturday, in the wake of his distasteful comments, he tweeted this, making a subtle reference to said comments. Quote, I have to stop watching all this for a little bit. I'm so sad this terror is happening all around us here in MN. I just prayed to God's will for it to somehow stop and now start a cry. I truly am sorry for all hurting like me through this, and I just want us to be a love covenant again. Truly, let's all pray this stops somehow because it's awful. And no more cheap one-liners from me. And then he opened his show Monday in a pre-recorded segment by saying, quote, I made a comment on air Friday about protesters and the weather that was insensitive and poorly timed, and I'm sorry. It was a misguided attempt at humor, and while it was never meant with any ill intent or political affront, I absolutely and wholeheartedly want to apologize to those who genuinely were hurt or offended by it. 9 to Noon doesn't formulate political opinions. We don't bash or praise political discussions or even focus on political issues. My best was lacking Friday, and for that I am sorry. I am taking a few days off. Wanted to express these thoughts and my sincere apology with you before I do. Paul Charchian will take over 9 to Noon on KFAN for the Here and Now. It was not announced when Alan will return to his show, or if he will. Well, no matter whether or not he returns, one thing's for certain. This show and next may very well be the last times I regularly name-drop Paul Allen on the BS Big Show for a long, long time. Another thing is for certain is that I give him his just desserts. So, Paul Allen, I've had to put up with you and your antics while hearing Vikings games on NFL Plus and Sirius XM, and I kept listening to Vikings games in spite of you. I've made fun of you for all these years for obvious reasons. I will continue to listen to Vikings games in all likelihood, whether you continue on in your position or not. But I have something to say. I have to say something to you just because it has to be said. Do not pass Ray. Do not collect Lily. Do not claim Solo. Just go directly to room 101. It doesn't matter who you are. These comments have no place in our society. Let this be a lesson to us all. This is why you do not dwell about the weather on a show not focused thereon, and this is also why you do not talk politics on a show not focused thereon. I rest my case.
Well, I have to ask you, Ian, very well done, by the way.
Thank you.
But I have to ask you, do you think Paul Allen is going to be canceled?
Well, I think 9 to Noon will continue on, but probably without Paul Allen. And someone else is going to have to take over as the voice of the Minnesota Vikings.
And I just want to see how old Paul Allen is, okay?
Old enough to know better. That's how old he is.
Okay. He's 60. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, getting up there.
Indeed. But here we go. This is the last one. The big one.
Yep. Seattle Seahawks. Jake's buy me a coat.
Yeah, I will. New England Patriots. February 8th, week from this Sunday. 6:30 p.m. on NBC and Peacock. And of course, with by the way, has the pregame show started yet? I'm just checking.
It doesn't start for another 11 minutes.
Okay. Very good. By the way, I called the line. Seattle is favored by 4.5. I said, what did I say, 5? And I think I said 5.
You said 5. All agreed. It turns out that the line is, it opened at Seattle 4.5.
And that's about right. And here's the interesting thing. 5 quarterbacks were selected in the first round that year in 2018. Baker Mayfield, no Super Bowl.
1.
Josh Allen, no Super Bowl.
2.
Lamar Jackson, no Super Bowl.
3.
Josh Rosen, we don't count him.
4.
Sam Darnold. Okay.
First quarterback for the 2018 draft class to make the
big. Isn't that amazing? At Sam Darnold. I would have thought Josh Allen would get there.
7 seasons. We all thought that Josh Allen would make it. He had 2 chances. He came up short both times.
Yes, he did.
He had plenty of opportunities, but a couple of times he came up short on controversial calls that were pretty well justified.
Yep.
But then, you have Drake May, who is your MVP, who, along with Mike Vrabel, coach of the year, has turned the New England team around from a 4-13 laughingstock to a 14-3 dynasty. But if I'm going after the team that I think is going to play better overall, has the better overall weapons, give me Seattle and give me the points. Seattle 27, New England 14.
Okay. You went over the highlights. Good for you, Jason. I'm going to go over the lowlights, the disadvantages, okay, if you will.
Okay.
On one side, Sam Darnold has led the league in turnovers with 20. He has played through the playoffs, 470 total yards, completing almost 70% of his passes. On the other side, you have Drake May, who needs help with his own line. He has no pass protection. He got sacked 5 times this last week, becoming the first quarterback ever to be sacked at least 5 times in 3 games in a single postseason. So we have a guy who's fighting his stroke versus a guy who needs some help in the protection. I am going to give it to Seattle, and I'm going to give it the points. It is going to be a very good game, a very median scoring game. It's going to be Seattle 28, New England 21.
Okay. And Ian, finally.
If you recall, 10 years ago, the last time the Bay Area hosted the Super Bowl 50 was a defensive showcase. It managed to be a defensive showcase without being a crashing bore. You're going to get another defensive showcase in this one, because defense wins championships, and the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots have 2 of the top defenses in the league, and Drake May has been known to be quite vulnerable against stingy defenses. Basically, the offensive line has buckled down, has crumbled against defenses, yet here they are because of the Patriots' own defense. And the Seahawks' defense has been relatively fierce as well. And I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I'm going to go with, as my last pick of the season, Seattle 16, New England 13. Give me the Seahawks to win and the Patriots to cover. 16-13, 29 total points.
So we will find out all of that I don't think we are going to be back next week, unless there's a major news story.
Somebody's going to have to, you know.
Right. And then we will be back Sunday, February 8th, for the annual BS Big Show Super Bowl Watch Along Spectacular. Everybody is invited, and everybody on the 5-1 Network will be here to make fun of the ref ball, make fun of the commercials, and pretty much
we got the hot dogs grilling, we got the Faygo Red Pop flowing, we got the queso flowing, we got the flow flowing.
Well, all I know is that we're going to be happy about this, but let's sell some soap. Ian, do you have anything to sell?
Yeah, my pigskin posts, they had been on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I've been going over the playoffs, Destination Bay Area, and next week I will have only one pigskin post. It's going to be Thursday, where I recap the Pro Bowl games. For this Thursday, I'm going to have the All-Pro teams and the Pro Bowlers mentioned. And next week, just one pigskin post, and that will preview the Super Bowl. And, of course, since I'm on location at Disney World in Florida, I'm going to be posting captain's logs going over my adventures here. And interestingly, I'm doing, you know how there's park hopping? There's also a thing called resort hopping. I'm doing some resort hopping in my own way. Like earlier, before I checked into the Contemporary, I stayed at a hotel on Earl Bronson Memorial Highway in Kissimmee, which is one of the areas I would generally stay before I started staying on site more frequently. And I'm staying three nights at the Contemporary right now. This is the second night as we record it. And in a couple of days, I'll be going over and stay two nights at the Swan and Dolphin. And
Wow. That was one of my choices when I won the trip back in 18.
Yes, and after a couple of days at the Swan and Dolphin, I'll be spending the weekend at the Wyndham at Disney Springs, and then I'll be hopping again next Monday to spend three nights at the Pop Century.
That is the budget hotel.
Yes, it is the value hotel. I've done BS Big Shows before from the Swan and Dolphin and the Pop Century in the past, and Thursday I will try to make my way back, whether storm or no storm. I will do my best to make my way back, but I'll be letting my Facebook followers know how things are going in my travels, and not just on site, but also the drives to and from, and I'll be in the film room for the Super Bowl watch along, but I'm going to try to find some time to put together the big finish. Yes, and if we do a postscript show after that, I may save it for then as well. But either way, I'll be in the film room the next time we meet. So that said, I'll see you real soon.
Yeah.
Okay, Chico. On Thursday, we are doing WLTI.
More Jeopardy Tournament of Champions coverage.
More RuPaul's Drag Race.
More Price is Right.
That's right. And the Survivor Challenge is on.
On Beast Games, yeah. And also...
No.
Oh, wait. This is a different Survivor Challenge.
This is the one where all 50 states have the immunity idols.
Yeah, and the person who finds them wins a trip to the finale. That's going to be a live finale. Right,
we're going to
be spreading the love on Thursday.
To?
Hollywood Squares.
Yes. Okay. But the first... the first idols that we'll be releasing are Oregon on the 28th, and Florida on the 28th. Okay? Then, each day, a new idol will be released. Vermont on the 29th. And we'll talk about, you know, just look at the map on Survivor50Challenge.com. We will talk about that. And by the way, the new, the North Carolina one is February 6th.
February 6th. That is a Friday. I am going to be at work. Damn.
and New York State is February 22nd. I don't know where they're going to put it, but we'll see.
Well, we will see. In the meantime, and between time, please don't forget to follow us on all social media at 5N1.
You forgot one thing, dude. Royal Rumble weekend. The NAWC. We are going to, we're going to preview it. We're not going to do the pick'ems for it. Saturday afternoon, we have, this could be the last time we see AJ Styles in a ring, because it is rumored that he will retire on Saturday after losing to Gunther. We have the men's and the women's Royal Rumble. We have Drew McIntyre facing Sami Zayn in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And then the road to WrestleMania truly begins. We will talk more about that as well.
Okay. And also, it was a thing on TV. We have a brand new squared circle time machine out. If I could just bring it up real quick. It is WCW Clash of the Champions 30. The finale of the Masked Man arc. And we also have You're the Picture from the 60s. And a couple more surprises. I'm going to let you figure that out if you get it. It was a thing on TV.com. In the meantime, in between time, please don't forget to follow us on all social media at 5N1Net. That's the number 5, A-N-D-O-N-E-N-E-T. It's the best way you can figure out what's going on network-wide. Of course, I am on all social media at Dino R. Alexander. Jason Block is on all social media at Jason Block, the number 2. Ian McClinn can be found at the Churros.
Yeah, one churro, please.
But until we meet each other again at Santa Clara Levi Stadium, Sunday, February 8th, he's Ian, he's Jason, I'm Chico, our time is up, we thank you for yours, Ian, Levi Stadium and step on it!
You got it!
Oh.